I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was on the house of floor. I saw a film today, oh boy. The English army had just won the war. A crowd of people turned away. But I just have to look, having read.
And back in the day, the Beatles were singing about a day in the life. Clearly, a day in the life today, if you're a carer, can be a very stressful one indeed, as carers admit to being overwhelmed by their responsibilities. In fact, Care UK have recently published a guide for helping carers who actually feel overwhelmed and really can't have difficulty coping. Now, to address this, we've got a dynamic duo of wonderful fine folk. First of all, presenter extraordinaire, the legendary Ruth Langsford. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning. I like that introduction. You can come again.
Very important, and indeed from Care UK, the fabulous Debbie Fox. Good morning, Debbie.
Morning.
Ruth, if we can come to you first, because you've got classic personal experience of the challenges that are faced with respect to caring, etc. So if you just share your own particular experience first, if that's okay.
Well, as many people will know if they watched this morning, and I've talked about it a lot, my lovely dad Dennis had Alzheimer's, and he had it for many years. My mum cared for him at home for nearly 11 years. You know, which is very challenging, as people out there will know if they're doing that themselves. And so when Care UK asked me to get involved with this campaign, I was really delighted, because I can speak from experience and I know how challenging it is for families out there who are facing the prospect of having to put a loved one in care. And it's a really daunting prospect. It's a very emotional one, a very difficult decision, and it's one that, you know, families take together, and you don't take it lightly. So the guide like this, a helping hand that Care UK have produced, I just think is fantastic, because it's aimed at carers, and so rarely things are aimed at carers. You know, a lot of the time the focus is on the person who has dementia, and the carers often get forgotten. So this is specifically for them, to guide them through this very, very difficult time. And it's a really practical booklet with lots of tips, lots of advice. Most things that you would want to know are in there. And I think, Deborah, you know, you would agree that this is when people often feel alone, isn't it? And something like this can make them realise that there's help out them there for them.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree. It can be a very difficult time for people. And information needs to be really easily accessible. So having a guide that you can just dip in and out of to get the information that you need can be a real bonus.
So, Debbie, coming back to yourself, with respect to Here For You and the guide in general, what is it that kind of makes it a unique guide for the carer to actually really help them through what is a challenging time?
Okay, well, the guide, Helping Hand, is all about sort of how the carer can look after themselves, take good care of themselves, find the financial information that they need, recognise the issues that are really relevant to the carer and not necessarily the cared for person. And that's the difference here. It's about looking at what we can do to support the individual who is caring for the person.
Ruth, we've spoken at length to TV presenter Angela Rippon about many of her personal experiences in this field as well, from that perspective. Is it something to do with the stiff upper British lip that effectively we tend to think, oh, we can't ask for help? Is that something that, or do we feel embarrassed?
I'm not sure it's stiff upper lip. I think it's just that people feel a huge responsibility to their loved ones, like we all do as your family, and you feel that you should be able to cope, you know. And 60% actually of people in your area, so Care UK did this survey, and in your area 60% of people said that they feel really overwhelmed by their caring responsibilities, because it's a lot to take on and we're not trained. A lot of it almost becomes nursing, and people get to the stage where they don't want to ask for help, because it looks like you're saying, you know, I can't deal with my loved one, and that's not the case. And I would just say to people, who are listening, if they are facing something like this, if you are a carer and you're listening to this morning, you know, there is help out there for you. And if you are facing the prospect of having to think about sending your loved one to a care home, you know, we had to think about it, that it was about my dad. Eventually it became not about us, it was about what was best for him. And we all knew that the kind of care he needed, which was 24/7 nursing, we couldn't provide. My mum definitely couldn't provide any more, and she'd done it for a very long time, and she'd done it brilliantly and admirably and with lots of love. But it got to the point where she was making herself ill. And as Debbie said, you know, you've got to look after yourself, because you're no help to your loved ones if you make yourself ill. And I think this guide, I mean, it's a really nice booklet. It's colourful, it's bright, it's not depressing, and it's all those questions that you might want to ask, like Debbie said, about finance, about how do you find a good care home, what should you be looking for, how do you have that conversation with your loved one to explain to them, if they're capable of understanding, you know, why that this needs to happen, should you go and visit. And, you know, I these are all things, I wish this Helping Hand booklet had been out, Debbie, when I was doing this, because I would have found it so useful, because you do feel a little bit alone sometimes.
Well, certainly looking at the figures there, average of 9 hours a week cooking for your loved one, 13 hours working from the home, those figures all mount up, Debbie, and I mean, clearly in terms of the side of things, clearly this can only actually help and assist in terms of coping with those challenges. Where can people go to actually find out details and information and indeed get hold of the booklet?
Okay, the Helping Hand booklet can be available for any of your Care UK local homes, or you can download it free on the website www.careuk.com. This guide, A Helping Hand, and a range of other guides are also available on the website.
Excellent. Well, I knew we were right in using the adjective legendary to describe your good self, Ruth. I think we can add that on to Debbie.
I'll back at you, Alex.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I take it then we've had a reasonably interesting telephonic link, an informative one, and who knows, hopefully we'll continue to fly the flag and positively actually raise the awareness, not only raise the awareness, but also provide some much-needed help for the care situation in the United Kingdom. Many thanks indeed, girls.
Thank you.
strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium.
Hang on, slow down. One tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, then you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Say we've got nothing in common, no common ground to start from, and we're falling apart. You'll say the world has come between us, our lives have come between us, still I know you don't care. And I said, what about breakfast to Tiffany? She said, I think I remember the film. And as I recall, I think we both kind of liked it. And I said, well, that's the one thing.
It's not just about breakfast at Tiffany's, it could well be about breakfast every day of the week, really, because skipping breakfast can actually lead to challenges, despite what various reports have actually been saying. And to address the importance of good nutrition, what better person than the fabulous nutritional expert extraordinaire who is Amanda Hamilton. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. Thanks for such a nice welcome.
Oh, we're delighted to speak with you, good self, as always. Now, this particular thing, because we've heard over the last few years, sometimes people say, oh, you should just snack, it doesn't really matter about breakfast, then then there's, of course, breakfast like a king, supper like a pauper. You go through those processes. But actually, despite the busy lifestyles that we actually have that might sort of lead us to say, oh, we'll just skip breakfast, etc., it is important to have some food of a morning.
It is. And you know that Monday morning is actually the morning that most of us are like to be skipped. Like, you said, what am I saying? Most of us are likely to skip breakfast on a Monday morning. There's new research out by Vita Coco, coconut milk this morning. And, yeah, a lot of us are skipping breakfast, but just over half of us some of the time. But, of course, as you just said, it's meaning that we are lacking concentration. It means that we don't perform as well. We don't feel as good. Because ultimately, breakfast does set us up for the day. And I think most of us already know this. It's just kind of making it more of a priority.
41%, according to the survey, will be hungry until lunchtime. One in five will eat lunch early, and nearly a quarter will not be able to concentrate, as you rightly said, as well as we could during the working week. And it makes you grumpy as well, presumably.
Yeah, your low blood sugar dips, that is. And that's kind of when you start to hear the call of the vending machine or think, oh, I'll ditch the diet already. Whereas if you'd actually had a proper breakfast, you wouldn't be feeling that. And, of course, the thing is, a lot of us just are too busy on the commute, or we've brushed off our feet, or maybe we're getting kids ready, whatever it might be. But it is only a few minutes of time, and it is something that you could either kind of prep and eat on the way, depending on, obviously not in the car, or eat first thing at your desk. It doesn't need to be too onerous in terms of timing, but really it makes all the difference. And I think it's psychological as well, isn't it? You create enough time for yourself and your body and your mind, then you know that you are prioritizing yourself in amongst everything else that happens in a day.
Now, with over eight internationally syndicated television series and, of course, the awesome G-Plan diet, you are clearly the go-to girl when it comes to healthy eating, because clearly there's one thing about saying we must have something at breakfast, but you don't necessarily want to actually take material in, which is going to cause problems for you later on.
This is it. And I think one of the things with breakfast is it's so easy to go down the, what I call the beige food route, you know, the quick fix, the bagels or the toast or the cereal that may look healthy in the packet but really isn't. Breakfast cereal in particular can be really high in sugar. So you're looking at less than 5 grams per 100 grams. So if you want to look at the back of a label of the cereal that you're just about to eat, that's what you're looking at, less than 5 grams per 100 grams. And then it's about having some good choices, better cereal choices, something obviously more with more protein in it. And then, well, it was Vita Coco that brought out this research, and that's a really good plant-based milk. A lot of us are avoiding dairy, but there you're not going to skip the calcium, so that's a really another a great way to do it. And personally, you know, I'm busy with kids, and you know, reeled off everything that I kind of get up to in a working week there. And I just tend to do smoothies. It's simple, and it takes a few minutes, and it is a great way to get some of the, it'd be harder to get nutritional things in a way that's not cost prohibitive for a lot of people, quick and easy, and does set you up for the day. But I make them myself. That's kind of one of the key factors.
Would it be easy to effectively set up a smoothie the night before? Would you recommend refrigerated smoothies, or would you say, no, it's got to be made on the morning?
You know, you could absolutely do it the night before. You know, one of the key things I think with smoothies, again, not to be trapped in the everything has to be sweet. So if you can mix in, for example, a handful of spinach, a tiny little bit of banana, milk that you like. Again, I use the coconut milk a lot. A tiny little bit of honey or something to sweeten up. But you're getting a lot of your greens there, right there. So you've got lots of calcium, lots of magnesium. You can add something a bit denser. So you can add something like Greek yogurt, for example. And I find that it's a kind of good one for all the family, this. Even if you just give someone in your home, a young child, a small cup of it, you can make it the night before. Not an issue at all. And that's a world away from something, a juice that you might buy in a carton and serve alongside a sugary cereal. Completely different impact on the body. And again, it won't take you much time at all to do it.
Well, I think you actually sort of provided a wonderful line from that perspective. We've just been joined in the studio by a gentleman who, when he's not running marathons, is also the editor of the Middlesbrough fanzine Fly Me to the Moon. Now, he's having to cope with a recent relegation. That's Rob Nichols. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Are you a breakfast person?
Yes, indeed, yes.
And what Amanda's been saying in terms of obviously your own fitness levels, is that the sort of thing that you consume of a morning?
I don't normally, but I did get a juicer last year, and the first lesson was that it's you can. It's really good to be able to make all your own things with all your own ingredients. But it is a meal in itself, isn't it? And you're aware of that afterwards.
Yes, and a juicer is much harder work than a blender, I've got to say. I'm a fan of juicing and things like that as well when the time is right. But if we're talking about something that is easy to do in the mornings, then obviously making a blend is a few minutes of time and it's not too difficult to cook. But of course, things like breakfast cereals or porridge, all great options as long as they're not a really hidden source of sugar. So that can be great too. In terms of recipes, you can look at the social media. That's at Vitacoco UK is the handle there. And there's tons of really good recipe ideas if you're kind of thinking, oh, I know I need to do something, but I need a bit of inspiration. So maybe that's something you could look at. And if you're running marathons, then you definitely need to fuel your day.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm pleased you actually mentioned porridge there, Amanda, because clearly with the Scottish background there, yeah. I know it's a cliche, but it's a way of how do we work it in with Vita Coco coconut milk. So it's very important from that point of view.
Half and half is nice, actually. I do half and half. And yes, of course, it is a bit of a cliche, but I was completely raised on the stuff. And I feed my kids it every day, so I'm still a fan, absolutely.
Well, as we knew it was going to be a tremendous success, Amanda, sharing some thoughts with yourself. Is there a place to go to for further information? Would we go to the Vita Coco coconut milk website, or where would you recommend we should go?
You can absolutely go to the website, so that's vitacoco.co.uk, but most people these days, I think they just hop onto one of the social media channels, and that's where you'll see a lot of the fun that we've been having. I'm in London this morning. It's not great weather, but everyone's been turning out. We actually gave out 20,000 breakfasts this morning down at Canary Wharf, so you can see some fun videos of that. But really, it's about giving the ideas for healthy breakfasts, kind of easy on the go, and you'll see all the recipes there. So that is Vita Coco UK is a social media handle, and whichever is your preferred social media channel, I'm sure you'll find us on that and come and say hello, and I'll message you back. There's a thing. If you message me this morning with a recipe idea, then I'll definitely get back to you. So please do that. I'll be on the watch. So I'm Amanda Nourish on social media, and then make sure you link in Vita Coco UK. And I'll be waiting.
Mm. Well, we in betwixt juggling all kinds of things and sorting out breakfast, Amanda, we will work our way through that. I take it you've had a reasonably healthy telephonic link with us this morning.
Absolutely, of course.
And
I did have my morning smoothie, I still do, and I had some oatcakes and a banana as well just before this interview.
I see. It's always good to see fully prepared, and you can tell the difference. You know, there are interviewees that we do, and you can tell they just haven't had a proper breakfast.
Yeah.
Mostly politicians, it has to be said. But you know,
yeah. So I do like a strong coffee as well, though.
Well,
you know, it's not all just about greens, you know.
So I take it then, Amanda, you'll be able to return in the not-too-distant future as well.
I would love to. Thank you very much for having me on this morning.
See the girls in.